Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Let's do it.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones with the fellas. Ray Porter Jr. is back. Hey, Vince, wasn't he AWOL during the NBA?
Well, see, it's not absent without leave. I don't know what it is.
Absent without love.
Is that what it is? But see, America, you know, liars should not be permitted on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Does he call me a liar right out the
bottom? I wouldn't call you a liar. Okay.
We didn't even get started with the show yet. He's already calling me a liar.
Blemishers. Blemishers. See, that's a new word.
Anyway, hey, it's Ray Porter Jr. It's going to be a lit show today.
We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, whatever. I see it coming. Ray Porter Jr. I already said your name three times. That's enough credit that you get today. And then we go with my man Vince Butts, who's always on point with the NBA. And Vince, I'm coming at you in the NBA today because, you know, what we're going to do today to set up the show for everybody that's listening. First of all, we're going to have fun without question. But we're going to talk. We actually recorded the show on Thursday night before the LeBron James decision on purpose so that we could talk about what we think LeBron's going to do. Then we have my man John McCann with the I Know You're Going to Dig This segment, dropping his segment the day of LeBron's decision so that we can present a full show to you on today, this morning, Saturday morning, with the before and the after. And you know why we did that? So that Ray Porter Jr., when he says that he didn't say that about LeBron and what LeBron was going to do, we got him on tape. All right? So coming at you from a different perspective, we get try to get creative with Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
And you also hear my responses on tape as well, too. So,
crickets? No, I'm just playing.
See what happens? See, absence makes the heart grow fonder. See?
Okay, whatever you say. So, first, excuse me, first and foremost, before we even get to the LeBron thing and the NBA thing, because that'll probably take up the majority of the show.
For sure.
But, Ray, I got to ask you this, man, because you're an NFL analyst. Jameis Winston got suspended for 3 games for groping, or was it proven that he groped the Uber driver?
I don't think it was proven because they haven't gone to court yet. But it's like because he agreed to the suspension and everything, he didn't fight it.
Okay.
He basically accepted it.
Yeah, he pretty much did.
In so many words, acknowledged that he apologized for it. So in my eyes, he basically admitted to doing it.
Yeah, admission to guilt. I mean, suspension is without pay, and he will not appeal.
The thing with that, though, and okay, Ray, you better come strong with this, man, because I know he's not a Pittsburgh Steeler, but Jameis Winston is a good player out of Florida State. And women, please listen. As you're listening to the show, we are not condoning what this brother did. Not in the least bit. And I think that it was stupid. And I like him as a player. Without question, I was a fan when he was at Florida State.
Yeah.
He's a champion. He knows how to win. And I even like him with Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who was my favorite NFL team, as a matter of fact. But they kind of lost me when John Gruden was there because, you know, Chucky won a Super Bowl championship with Tony Dungy's team. But that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Anyway, with Jameis and his situation, it was kind of stupid because he got drunk. He got drunk and he's out hanging out. And I heard this as I was following the story. He was by himself when this happened. So he didn't have a teammate with him. He didn't have anybody with him. And no witnesses. I'm not saying that the young lady who's the Uber driver is wrong. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm saying Jameis Winston is not being smart in his decisions in that situation because you're a famous person. And, you know, famous people are vulnerable. Now, this young lady in the car, man, I apologize to you. I apologize for him and for all men because men shouldn't be doing that to women. You know, so we don't, like I said, we don't condone it. But Jameis, man, that was stupid.
Yeah, and he has to be careful. And I echo your sentiments because he's had issues in college where two other times. You remember those times?
Yeah.
I think the
right
one.
Allegations.
One was crab legs.
One was crab legs, but that wasn't the one we're talking about.
No, the rape allegations.
Rape allegations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At Florida State.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just, I mean.
Whatever happened with those?
He still kept playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it looked like it was some type of probation on campus.
Now let me ask you this, man. I'm gonna be a devil's advocate here, and even to me, and I'm a sports fanatic, and I follow sports, but it sounds like preferential treatment.
Oh slap on the wrist for sure. Absolutely.
But to me, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. I think it happens way more often than we pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these big name stars. And sometimes they're not necessarily big names in terms of professional athletes,
mm-hmm.
but just because these guys start out as kids,
right?
And everybody looks at them as the next best thing coming up. Right. I mean, look at it now. You have eighth graders getting offers to play college football.
True. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's stupid. I think it's a little outrageous.
That's stupid.
It is.
So we put these kids on pedestals at a young age, and I think all along the way, we show them signs that they're special.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond your intelligence, your educational aptitude thing. You go to class, you do your work, you're a great student. Mm-hmm. You're a good citizen. We look at these kids as commodities. In our communities, and we put them on a pedestal at a young age,
right.
Prop them up.
It's true.
We give them preferential treatment starting at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
We look past certain behaviors, certain transgressions. We look past those things because they're gifted on the athletic field.
Right.
And we're setting them up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then they reach that one line, that one phrase that I can't stand when they start feeling like they're untouchable. And they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, but society makes these guys feel like they're untouchable. I mean, we're oohing and aahing with them, every little step that they make, even on and off the field. When mm-hmm. you think about it, it's like we're thinking they're at another level. They're mm-hmm. on a mm-hmm. pedestal, so to speak.
But he can't blame society for being suspended for 3 games.
Nah, he got to blame himself, man.
Exactly. That's my point.
It's like that was just a stupid move.
It
was just stupid.
It was.
But I'm still a Jameis Winston fan. Now, let me ask you guys this thing. He's going to miss the first 3 games. The first 3 games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans Saints, mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles, defending Super Bowl champs, and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
That's not a good time to be missing the first 3 games of the season, Jameis Winston.
Wait, well,
not even. Because now if you can't get through that, now you're 0-3 by the time you come back to game 4. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the answer.
He ain't the answer, but... You gotta always watch those teams even when they don't have their starting quarterback. I mean, I remember a few years back, the Steelers played. I forgot who was quarterbacking. It was before Jameson was drafted,
mm-hmm.
and the Buccaneers were a mess. But mm-hmm. they upset Pittsburgh at Heinz Field.
Mm-hmm.
So just go just so. Anything can happen, man. And they still have
Josh Freeman.
I believe it was Freeman.
Yeah. Josh Freeman was a bad boy. But I thought he was a bad boy. Now, I don't want to know what happened off the field or what happened with him because he kind of always seemed like he was singing from the background. But, I mean, it's like, I don't know, man. Josh wasn't a bad boy coming out of college.
Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those cases where they're going to be ready to play with them, without them, I mean. And they're going to have to just put their best foot forward with the rest of their team.
Right.
But the other issue with Jameis and Tampa Bay is his contract situation.
Oh.
I mean, they picked up his fifth-year option.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he's due to make almost $21 million this upcoming season if he's on the roster by, I think it's March of 2019, if he's still on the roster, he's going to get that portion is guaranteed.
Right.
So he has to be careful. He has a history
of
some bad behavior, some well documented bad behavior. The NFL probably looks at him as a repeat offender.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he didn't all these things he didn't do while he's an NFL player,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes things from college carry over into the NFL, and they hold that against you.
The Cowboys know that,
right? So he's looking at potentially losing his job
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't walk the straight and narrow.
Well, right. He's looking at the potential of being banned if he does it again. Oh, the absolutely. NFL came out with a statement on Thursday, right. Which said that future offenders, mm-hmm. depending on the degree, they could be looking at a ban mm-hmm. from the NFL.
Right.
Which, okay. I mean, that's putting your foot down. I think that puts it around really hard. Now, we're talking about sexual harassment, and we're talking mm-hmm. about a player.
Right.
But I want to switch gears on you real quick. We're going to stay on the same topic, but we're going to talk about an owner. Okay, and the owner for the Carolina Panthers, Jerry Richardson, it was finally found that throughout an investigation that in his workplace conduct, there was sexual harassment mm-hmm. allegations mm-hmm. and racial comments. Mm-hmm. Now, Richardson has since sold the Carolina Panthers to the hedge fund's billionaire David Tepper. He did that in May. But still, here it is June. And we're still talking about this dude and his, what he did. Mm. And he was an owner.
Yes, he was. A long-time owner.
So now you can't talk about just the players making stupid decisions or feeling like they're entitled, mm-hmm. so to speak. And Richardson, he was fined by the NFL for $2.75 million.
Right.
Fines. I can live off of $2.75 million. Mm-hmm. He got a fine for it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just wanted to put that out there. Did you guys hear anything else about that? Did you see anything else into that?
Other than the reports that came out about whatever everything else that they investigated. I remember when it first started, when the Me Too movement began,
mm-hmm.
and he was one of the ones that they really pointed out, which led to his downfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, and let's be honest here. Owners have long since felt like they were entitled and untouchable. Look at Donald Sterling from the Clippers
mm-hmm.
in his case. I mean, and there are many others as well. So it's just really a shame. I mean, you have a chance to make a difference in your position
mm-hmm.
and you abuse your power.
Right.
And it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that struck me was the woman who was the target of the sexual harassment and some of her statements. She was it was crazy, man, because like when she was talking about like what was she supposed to do when he told her to do this
mm-hmm.
and when he told her to do this and he when he actually did this or did that, what was she supposed to do?
Right.
And when I think about a woman being put in that position, that scares me. Mm-hmm. Because she's in an extremely vulnerable position.
Absolutely.
Just like for her life, she doesn't know like what this guy is capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, like 2.75 is not enough.
Gotcha.
When you talk about that, this could be your sister, this could be your mother,
mm-hmm.
On the job. And this could happen anywhere. We're talking sports, but this is not relegated to just sports.
Right.
Right.
This can happen in any workplace mm-hmm. where you have guys who are in positions of power using that power and influence mm-hmm. to get what they want at any point.
And it's just, and I was reading, you know, what she wrote in that letter, and that's disgusting, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, just degrading
mm-hmm.
to, you know, it's mental, you know what I'm saying? It's psychological, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So it's just, yeah, I can see.
It's can being see a pervert is what he's being, man.
I'm like, talking about but from her standpoint.
I got you. Right? Yeah, it can mess her up.
Yeah, he's definitely a pervert. 81 years old.
Come on, man.
You need to get going to some retirement home.
Jameis Winston made a dumb move. Jerry Richardson, you made an even dumber move
because
you're an owner and you own a franchise. I mean, we're looking at Jameis Winston. They're like, dude, you're making so much money. And looking at Jerry Richardson like, you own a franchise.
Right.
What are you doing?
And what's it worth?
I think the thing to take away is that this probably is not the first time that these things have happened
to these
individuals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Jerry Richardson and Jameis Winston,
mm-hmm.
Like how many undocumented instances mm-hmm. have happened in these two particular guys in their lives?
Yeah. So what that means is that men, as men, need to step up, and when you see something like that, you need to step up and be that man.
Speak up, right?
Whether it's your wife, your child, your daughter, no, because when you look at another woman, that's somebody else's maybe mm-hmm. wife, daughter, sister.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to respect the womanhood, and women are strong, man. Don't sleep.
Right.
Women are strong. They just put in some types of situations sometimes where society they're maybe worried about. Okay, so This is how the structure's supposed to be. Now this man's making a move. What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You know, a brother's supposed to stand up there. I don't care if you white, black, green, yellow, purple, sure, whatever color you are. When I say brother, I'm talking about all men. Right. Supposed to step up and take care of the women. So, and not that they can't take care of themselves, but if you see a situation, you gotta speak up on that.
And let me tell you something, and I, you know, just to be very transparent, I seen that in one of my workplaces before, where inappropriateness was done, and I did speak up. I got after her because she, at first she felt weird, you know, she felt weird, and she said, "Well, I don't want to cause no trouble." I said, "You need to speak up and say something now," because she ended up going home for the rest of the day. So she finally did it, and I did as well. So it's worth it.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Oh, you didn't know these cats had it in them, did you? Look at them. Look at them. Talking about things that happen in society. That's what we're talking about. Now, the first segment of the show is we're coming, bringing it to a close, talking about the NFL. We're going to talk about all sports, and we're going to talk about everything happening in sports. We just talked about Jameis Winston, what happened with him with his 3-game suspension for sexual harassment allegations. And I want to say charges, but there weren't charges because – nothing was, they didn't go to court or anything like that.
Right, right.
But also it doesn't make it make mean it didn't happen. And then former Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson getting fined $2.75 million for his craziness that was going on in his workplace. But it's Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones with Ray Porter Jr. and Vince Butts. We'll be right back after this. And this is the pre-LeBron decision edition.
Lots of fun.
We'll be right back.
Nice to Media Marketing and Promotions is an independently owned marketing and promotions company handling all your social media, event planning, brand marketing, and promotional needs for small, nonprofit, and big corporations. If you need more information about rates and services or more, call 443-252-3923 or log on to the website at nice2mediamarketing.com. Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
You ready, Mace?
Party people! Place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time
Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevin A. Jones, Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, and holding it down. We're talking NFL to start off the show today. It's a Saturday. It's the pre-LeBron James edition. The first half of the show is that, because later on we'll have the after LeBron James decision part of the show. And if you're trying to figure out how that's going to happen, as I explained at the beginning of the show, we recorded Thursday night because it was a pre-LeBron James decision, which he made on Friday. And then we got John McCann to cover the LeBron James decision. So we're going to play that later in the show. Not the I know you're going to dig this to see what actually transpired from LeBron. Why did we do it this way? Number one, because it's different. And plus, we want to catch Ray in a lie. So if Ray says something differently, we want to make sure that it's on tape that we caught him and saying what he was saying.
Who gave this man the spoon to stir the pot? You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, gentlemen, let's finish up on the NFL real quick, because I got two more guys to ask you guys about. And if you have more, just let me know. Interesting, in Cleveland, no, I'm not talking about LeBron James. It looks like Duke Johnson might keep his starting role on passing downs in that Cleveland backfield. It looks like it's going to be running backs by committee.
Jeez, they have enough of them.
And yeah, they do. And I like the running backs they have, though. And the one that I really like is Nick Chubb, who we saw playing for Georgia last year. And he was a beast.
He should be the incumbent. He should be.
And then you got Carlos Hyde, who's also in that backfield. So it's being reported in that – during the, you know, watch the preseason, watch the training camps, because Nick Chubb and Carlos Hyde might be dueling for that starting running back position with Duke Johnson coming in on passing downs. What you guys think? Vince?
Yes, go ahead, Vincent.
I was going to let the NFL guy, you know.
No, man, do your thing.
Now, he's over here trying to throw terrible towels at me. He's the Pittsburgh man. So we can't talk long, though, because he is the NFL analyst. Right. So you got to give respect.
Right. How much time I got? All right.
30 seconds.
All right. So funny. Obviously, Duke Johnson is more suited for the third down back, catching the ball out of the backfield.
Right.
I personally, as we go into training camp, I would save Carlos Hyde. Like, I want him to start the regular season. If the rookie, I like rookies to earn their keep.
Mm-hmm.
and not just in training camp, preseason. I want to see guys when the games count. I want to see what guys look like, because we've seen guys look great in preseason and training camp,
right?
And then kind of flame out when the season starts. You know, when the lights come on and the pressure's there, because Nick Chubb is pretty much guaranteed a roster spot, barring something catastrophic. He'll be playing this year, so I like to see him earn his stripes. Come in as the second, as secondary back, you know, get some touches. But I want to see Carlos Hyde carry the load.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah, and Carlos Hyde had 940 yards last year, and he had some pretty good years for San Francisco as well. So I said that Chubb is the incumbent, but they're going to start Hyde off. Let him show what he can do, do what he can do. But it's not going to be long before Chubb gets up in there.
Right. Not, I mean, I think, you know, I think like situations dictate, you know, what you want to do. I think like that first game against the Steelers.
They're going to shut him down, man.
Carlos Hyde, with his experience, he's a big back. He's not a small dude.
He is.
You know, he can come in and wear out, you know, that defensive line, wear out those linebackers of Pittsburgh. And then you can bring fresh legs for a few series and let him, you know, pound away. So I think, you know, I think each situation is going to be different as they go from game to game. And I think it in one sense, it should until one guy stands, you know, completely head and shoulders above.
Right.
I mean, if Carlos Hyde comes out and he's blowing up the spot, you ride that
ride the horse, right.
You know?
And my trash talk aside, I do respect Hyde because he did well replacing Frank Gore, when he moved on. He had 940 last year. He had 988 in 2016. So, yeah, he's a pretty durable dude. 5'11", 229 pounds. Yeah, he's a bruiser. So to use them both in the committee, it wouldn't hurt. I'm sure that's a lot of football teams' dreams anyway, instead of just wanting to get 400 carries to one, but, you know.
Well, say, unless you're the Steelers.
Unless you're the Steelers,
and
your name's
Le'Veon Bell.
right, that's for sure. Or Gurley, Todd Gurley from the Rams. So, but it's a good situation to be in. It really is, especially for a team that's trying to rebuild, you know, rebuild after, you know, what they've been through the past couple of years.
So that's interesting. So, I mean, unless you guys got something else to say about football, I was going to say something about, you know, Homer's over here, running back, with the agreement with the Steelers.
You know what? Yeah, I got something to say about that, but I'm gonna, after you,
no,
man.
No, go ahead, say it.
Age before beauty, man.
No, go ahead, say it.
Now, you know, talk. I just wish all this talk would stop.
Who are you talking about, first of all, so people at home know who we're talking
about? Yeah, I'm sorry. Le'Veon Bell, the interesting, in quotes, Steelers all-pro running back. You know, he's been talking and rapping. Some people just shouldn't quit their day job, but rapping about what he wants to make, and then he decreased his asking price or whatever. So he's been in the papers talking about how him and the Steelers are closer to a deal than last year. Now, I could see the Steelers offering a deal of probably, what, $14.5 million, same as the tag, for about 4 or 5 years. I could see that. Is it going to happen? I mean, we got till July 15th. So I wish all the talking would stop. I actually feel a little good about it, but at this point, I really don't even care anymore, because it's just like, you know, they're going to keep him for at least one more year anyway.
But if he, I know he said that if he, if they don't give him a long-term deal, did he say he would hold out? He would not? Or did he say he just wouldn't, like, play and he wouldn't come to training camp?
Yeah, just like last year.
Okay.
No training camp. No preseason games, and he'll be ready the week before. And it's like, you know, stuff like that, it's ridiculous. I mean,
you don't expect him to hold out?
Well, I mean, if he does not, if they don't meet that deadline, he's going to do it. It's just ridiculous, in my opinion. And then that'll just give James Conner and Jalen Samuels from North Carolina State their opportunities.
Do you think they should pay him?
I shouldn't think they should pay them what a running back is worth, not a running back / receiver. So, if that's the case, then pay Todd Gurley first.
Well, I mean, okay, so what's a number that you think is commensurate with his ability?
What the tag is offering, 14.5, up from 12.2 million.
You'd be okay giving him a 4 or 5 year deal for 14.5?
In fact, I'd even put an option in there, a fifth year option, because these days these players don't want these crazy long deals. Mm-hmm. They want the monies, you know. What and also don't forget the signing bonus.
Right.
So why not? You know, especially if he's in a good situation where this team is just really a good defense away from possibly winning a championship. And the key word is possibly, because they got to get that defense together. And the offense is loaded. Why not? Good quarterback, good receiver, good offensive line. You know?
Would your preference be to have him?
Yeah.
Or
like, yeah, I would be a fool to say no. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you just get tired of antics, man. He's like the anti-Jerome Bettis when it came to all that negotiation stuff. I
mean, he seems to like sort of backtrack.
Yeah, he's backtracked a lot.
From his earlier stance. He mm-hmm. seemed to be really, really hard-nosed and, mm-hmm. He was holding his ground.
Right.
Now he's kind of backed off a little bit. Seems that, you know, like making a statement that they're close.
Right.
You know, we haven't really heard, you know, numbers wise, what are we talking?
Right.
We definitely haven't heard anything from the Steelers side, mm-hmm. Probably on purpose.
Absolutely. Because they like to keep stuff hush hush. You know, they've always been like that. Can I read a quote from him?
Oh, mm-hmm. We don't hear nothing from Le'Veon Bell. You know, we don't hear a quote for
is it. Are they rap?
What are you talking about?
You know,
now he's gonna want to say a poem.
The NFL analyst, and then all of a sudden he's told he can't do it. Okay,
yeah. Go ahead, man, with your quote.
Not all. You know what I'm saying? Fight the power. Nah, he just basically said, obviously, the people in this organization try to do what's best for them. I'm trying to do best for me. We're working on it. We're a lot closer than we were last year at this time, and that's what I'm happy about. So. And then his line, this next line is what I say. None of that matters.
Got more?
If we. Terrible towels, everyone. Please donate it to Trevin Jones, please. None of that matters if we don't get it done. So at least I give him that respect. But I mean, you know, put the money where your mouth is.
Man,
get it done.
Get another ring. Get to the playoffs and make something happen. Don't get to the playoffs
and fall short.
Like you've been doing.
I'm with it.
The Steelers ain't been in a championship situation in a long time.
Since 2010.
Matter of fact, Jerome Bettis retired after they won the Super Bowl. Isn't that correct?
No, they won one more in 08.
Yeah, well, I'm not even giving them credit for that one. But anyway,
you know, see, so
do you think
haters going to hate, man?
Le'Veon? No, I got respect for the Steelers organization. And, of course, Le'Veon Bell, and I'm a fantasy football player, so Le'Veon Bell was somebody you wanted to go to because he was going to get you the yardage.
Right.
But when you start doing what you're doing and
all this,
all the talk,
yeah.
And then you're not performing after the talk,
mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, man. That's when you put yourself in a situation.
And he was rusty. He was rusty. That's why he didn't have 1,300 yards. He could have had more than that if he would have just started.
Yeah, well, I believe that.
Isn't he, he's going out there and, I don't know, from my vantage point, he's doing his thing.
He
could do more.
He did his thing. I give you that.
He could do more.
But to create all of the distraction that you created at the beginning of the season,
mm-hmm.
No player is worth that distraction because now you're breaking up the football team. I'm going to refer to Soul Take Champions Live that aired on Wednesday night. They had a ladies' night, and I was impressed with the women that were on the show because they were really into football. Now, for those of you who don't know, Urban Media Today is based in Pittsburgh. We are not a Pittsburgh show, okay? So sometimes Ray and Vince aren't allowed to talk about Pittsburgh on the show. Well, not Vince. I don't got to worry about him. He's from Cleveland.
Ray's not allowed to talk about Pittsburgh on the show. You know what, man?
But anyway, just to explain the situation, all three of the ladies had a very good point, and the point was perform. The Steelers ain't winning Super Bowls in years now. So, you know, who's the prima donna? And they said that Ben Roethlisberger is not a leader, and he's not the leader of that team because they don't have that one person that could be the leader. Now, I bring that up to say this. This is why I'm disappointed in Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon, from that running back position, could have been the leader of this team in the locker room. Okay, he could come out there and say, okay, knock it out, let's do it every day, because he has his hands on the ball
mm-hmm.
as much as the quarterback has his hands on the ball.
Absolutely.
And if he has his hands on the ball and performs and then comes into that locker room and demands that from his teammates, he can become the man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he just messed up in that situation. So that's why when you hear vinegar coming my way towards Le'Veon Bell, it's because I see a strong black man who was in the position from the running back position who really, because if you pay attention to all of the distraction that he caused last year before football, everybody was talking about Le'Veon Bell. If you're getting all that attention, that means you can turn that positive and you can actually be a leader. Ben Roethlisberger, to me, is not a leader, and your quarterback should be a leader.
He should be. He should be more vocal. He should be more of everything.
I think Ben is selfish.
Well, what happens if you're more a leader, you know, like on the field, your actions? I mean, they're on a 53-man roster,
mm-hmm.
I think there are plenty of guys that aren't in the quote-unquote limelight, aren't in the start, the glamour positions that can be leaders.
Right. And there probably are.
Right.
But we just don't know about it. But they probably are.
So I don't begrudge Le'Veon for or and how he's acting, because he's a young dude trying to get his money.
Yeah, he's gonna get his money.
And I mean, he'll get it whether you know it's the Steelers here. Give it to him or some other team gives it to him. But he understands, and I think players understand is that it's a business. It's a business first,
and that's true.
So you got to go out there and you got to get your money straight. Mm-hmm. You always have to be, I think, cognizant of that it's a business first. And if you forget that, you're gonna be left. You're gonna be left behind.
And that's true. And I totally agree with you. Now, and even what I said, I did not mention anything about he doesn't deserve the money. I didn't mention that it's not a business. Yes, running back's lifespan in the NFL is very slim. The window may be 5 years. And if you make 5 years, you're pushing it. Look at Adrian Peterson. He made it to almost, 10 years?
Yeah.
And that's incredible as a running back.
Look at a different situation. You have, I know it's, in some ways it's similar, but the personalities are different. You have Aaron Donald in L.A., and he's grossly underpaid.
Tremendously.
Still his rookie deal,
And you have people saying he should just take, you know, he should play out his contract, and when it's time, he'll get his money. But, I mean, the dude is phenomenal, you know, defensive player of the year.
Right. All pro.
And along with Khalil Mack. I mean, they're so, like, you have Aaron Donald who's holding out or not coming to training camp and whatnot, doing it quietly. Are people looking at him a little bit differently than they are Le'Veon?
No, they're not in the spotlight.
He's
doing it quietly. He could be in the spotlight, but he's choosing to do it differently. So he's not in the spotlight. So people aren't looking at him differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people don't even know what you just said. They're like, what? Really? He's holding out? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But Le'Veon, he's on blast. I'm like, come on.
He is on blast.
Him and Antonio Brown? Come on.
Good all that talking. And one thing about the Steelers that has not changed ever, I've watched many players try to hold out against them, and it's not been good. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they're not going to change. You're not going to try to force them into a contract if they're out of camp.
That's true.
Doesn't he owe it to himself and what he's been, you know, what he's performed already to this point? Doesn't he deserve to at least get his voice heard? And I understand there's different ways to go about doing it, but the thing is, everyone's going to do it differently because we're all different people.
Right.
So, and like I said, I think that he has matured to a certain point because he has backed off. He seems, in his recent comments, he seems more mature. He seems more understanding.
Realistic.
Of the situation. I wasn't mad at him before because I want the guy to get paid.
Yeah.
Not as a, even though he's a rival.
But
he deserves to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for his production and how they're using him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel like they're going to, if it's up to the Steelers or any team, you got a guy on a good contract for the team's finances, not necessarily the players. You're going to run him into the ground.
Yeah. And they've historically done that with the running backs. I mean, look at Willie Parker. Look at Barry Foster, who was the last running back to hold out like that.
I mean, the NFL, whether they acknowledge it or not, they have devalued the running back position.
Yeah, but you still, you signed your first contract as a rookie. If you want to get paid, do what's required of you. You know what I'm saying? There's a such thing as called doing the right thing the wrong way.
And what's required right now is for us to take a break. It's Urban Media Today Talking Sports. We'll be right back.
Fight the power. Fight the power.
Do you want to hear lively sports discussions on the hottest topics in sports today with exciting local and national guests? We have the right program for you. Tune in to Soul Chicks. Yeppie is live every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Urban Media Today Radio. And then check out the show on the website, urbanmediatoday.com. Get right down to business with your co-hosts, Kevin Cameron and Bill Neal, as they introduce guests, hot sports topics, and more. It's Soul Chicks. Yeppie is live. Brought to you by Cameron Professional Family of Businesses. Don't miss it. Soul Chick. Tempe is live.
Urban Urban Media Today Talks Sports. We've been talking football for the most part of this show. The first half hour of the show was football, and I'm like, yo, come on, man. No, I'm just playing. Football season's around the corner. What I want to do before we even go any further, gentlemen, quietly, on Tuesday afternoon, the NHL announced their class of 2018 for the Hall of Fame. And a lot of people don't know this. Mm-hmm. But Willie O'Ree, who's now the third African-American to be inducted to the NHL.
Yes, sir.
Was announced to be part of that class for 2018. Now, Willie O'Ree, for those of you who don't know, he actually broke the color line in the National Hockey League.
Yep, he's their Jackie Robinson.
And he is their Jackie Robinson. And the notable thing about Mr. O'Ree, and this was back in 1958. When did Jackie Robinson break the color barrier in baseball? Was
47.
It 47.
Yeah.
So 11 years later.
Wow.
11 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought I read somewhere where there may have been other black hockey players playing, but maybe not in the NHL. But Mr. O'Ree, he played 45 games over two seasons with the Boston Bruins, and tallying about 14 points despite being 95% blind in his right eye.
Isn't that something?
Wow. Are you kidding me right now?
Wow.
So kudos to Mr. Willie O'Ree, who was the first black hockey player in the NHL. He was announced as part of the class of 2018
right.
for the National Hockey League. And who talks about there ain't no soul on ice?
People that don't know their facts.
Yeah, there's definitely soul on ice. And I have to also say, the first African-American to be enshrined was former Oiler great Grant Fuhr.
Yes.
And then the former Canadian national women's team captain Angela James was also in the Hall of Fame. So O'Ree will be going into the Hall of Fame this year as the third African-American. And I had to point that out because I just thought, like, wow.
I just said long overdue. You know,
definitely long overdue.
Yeah.
And just to show that we're everywhere. We're doing things, and I like to see that. And I want to say this real quick. Devontae Smith-Pelly, who won the Stanley Cup with the Washington Capitals.
Yes, sir.
He was going to re-sign for a year contract with the Capitals. And I saw him play this year. Like, this is the first time, really, I paid attention to hockey, to national hockey this year.
Yeah.
And that was because of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights. That just interested me, piqued my interest, because you have a franchise in its first year in existence, makes it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. But as what most people don't understand, and I think Ray, you and I, and maybe Vince, too, had mentioned it before, it wasn't a normal franchise startup, because in the hockey league, what the NHL did, which I think was pretty smart, was you had teams looking at their salary caps. So you had some star players that mm-hmm. were being released that
right.
were being picked up by the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And that they were out west in the division with the LA Kings, who were a beast at one time. Mm-hmm. And then you also had the San Jose Sharks, who were out there, who were beastly at one time, too.
True.
And the Golden Knights just went in and handled business. So they ended up playing the Washington Capitals. And the title still came back to D.C., the Chocolate City, as they won the National League Hockey Championship. So I had to throw that out there just real quick, just to show that we are covering everything. And now, gentlemen, when you speak about soul on ice, it's a cold sport, indoor sport, winter sport. We got to go to the NBA, man, because there's a lot happening in the NBA. Like I said, the way the show is set up today is that we did the pre-LeBron James show on Thursday night piece of it. That's mm-hmm. this piece that you're listening to now. And then we also did the coverage of the LeBron James decision, which is on Friday. And my man John McCann is going to cover that for you in the I Know You're Going to Dig This segment in a minute. But Ray, Vince, now mind you, this is before LeBron's making his decision. And we're honestly doing this before so that we have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see what you gentlemen think is going to happen. Because mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen after you guys go. But go ahead.
I really, and I've been going over this ever since the season ended. And I'm really, I'm 95% certain that he's going to leave Cleveland. And here's my reasons why. For obvious reasons, because, you know, it's not even a fact about him making money, but there's something that says when you can finally get that max deal with who he is. I mean, you got Steph Curry making his money, you got others making his money. Speaking of which, Steph Curry is going to be the first NBA player to make $40 million in a season, and that's incredible.
Did you say Trae Young or did you say Steph Curry? No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Young probably, if he live up to his hype, he'll be getting it too. But You know, and I think that the city of Cleveland, and just in my opinion, I believe that they're ready for it this time than it, compared to what they were in 2010. Mm-hmm. And if he does move on, I was just looking at their cap situation. They still their work out things with Kevin Love possibly and a few other players too. And I think they're ready this time. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I really I'm 95% sure that he is not going to take that $35.6 million option. So that's how I feel. And
but where is he going to go?
Two teams. I mean, for weeks I had been saying the Lakers, but now I don't know. Because if the Lakers are really looking after two others, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
Who announced on Thursday that he's not coming back to Oklahoma City.
Right.
He made it clear.
And you know, those young men are looking for those max deals too. Because they never had it. And Paul George don't have no rings. At least Leonard has a ring. James has three. So if they could actually snatch all three of those players up, it'll be like the Miami Heat situation where they all would have to agree to something less than what they want. You know, so that's my opinion. Or, and I never thought I'd say this, the possibility of him joining Houston. That possibility.
I'm going to keep that to myself.
Mm-hmm. And I ruled that out up until this point. Now, I don't think in Philly is, no, absolutely not. He's not going to Philly. So that's just my opinion at this point. But it's going to be interesting to see how it's all going to play out.
All right, Mr. NBA analyst, go ahead. Go for it. I know you've
yes,
been
sir.
Waiting.
Do your thing, man. Vincent.
I agree.
Now you got to speak up now so we can hear you. Don't get caught quiet and humble now.
No, I agree with Ray. I think the city of Cleveland is more prepared for his departure. But I agree. I think LeBron's leaving. I think he's going to L.A. I think that now, so like, he's waiting. I think he's gonna wait to see who, you know, do the Lakers put together a package that's gonna get Kawhi out of San Antonio, and they need if they're gonna do it, they got to do it quick. You know, because like they, to, in one sense, they can't afford to wait and see if things play out. I know you guys probably heard Magic.
Yeah,
talking about
he would
step down in 2 years. I don't want to disrespect Magic, but I thought it was a sort of an empty statement. Like it really didn't mean anything. Like if he had said, if we don't get a prize free agent this year, then I'm stepping down. Then there's pressure.
Right.
Then there's pressure on the organization to really put together something to get somebody this year, because mm-hmm. LeBron's not going to LA or anywhere else until he knows,
yeah,
like what's there,
and which is smart. I mean, he's come off of 4 straight NBA final appearances.
Because
well.
And he can make his decision if he decided right now to, you know, he told Cleveland he's not coming back, and he goes to the Lakers. The Lakers could just say, oh, okay, all right, it's gonna be LeBron and everybody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, They're under no pressure to get Kawhi, you know, to bring in Kawhi, not at least not this year, no, or this upcoming year, or Paul George. I mean, so, but I think the Lakers feel the pressure to make a deal to get Kawhi, and I also think Paul George is going to feel some pressure to make his decision early.
And
he has, I mean, you have, and I know these guys can talk. I don't know if you heard LeBron supposedly text Kevin Durant and ask him to come to LA. I think that's garbage. But because maybe you ask KD because of his history.
Yeah, but check it out. LeBron and KD worked out together,
right?
And then they had to go at each other in the finals, and I get that, but. I mean, if they're that close where they worked out together, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't see that as being impossible that he didn't reach out to him and say, yo, come. But I don't know if he said come to L.A.
Right, right.
But, I mean, I think, I'm not trying to cut you off, Vince, but when you said something about the Spurs and Kawhi, the Lakers, as early as Thursday, it was reported that they offered Brandon Ingram and a first-round draft pick for Kawhi Leonard to the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs are like, nah, we want more.
You have to.
Yeah, they want everything but the kitchen sink.
Look, if Pop, why would he trade You know, why would he build help build this team?
For sure.
That he's going to be competing with.
And not get nothing in return.
He's looking for a king's ransom. Mm-hmm. And if I were him, I'd be the same way.
Yeah, so no doubt.
You got to fill up this thing. Like, we're talking draft, multiple draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kawhi's a defensive player of the year.
He's like two or three times.
Two-time defensive player of the year. Multiple all-stars. He's got a couple rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what happens if you can't get Kawhi on the court? He's playing for the Spurs, but think about this. LaMarcus Aldridge was given problems to Pop in the beginning.
Kawhi's fine.
I think so, too. But I'm just saying, what happens if you can't get him on the court? What if mentally, if he just doesn't want to play for the Spurs?
That's why he needs to get away.
Well, he obviously doesn't want to play for them. He only wants to play for the Lakers.
And that can become a poison in the locker room.
Very much so.
You got a dude here that don't even want to play with you, and he lets you know, yo, I don't want to play with you.
Yeah, but he has the backup for him is he can say, I'm still hurt.
Exactly. So that's also a poison.
So meaning that he doesn't even have to step into the locker room.
That's true.
So in terms of, you know, bringing anything, he doesn't have to, like, he could just stay away.
Yeah.
And be like, yo.
As he did. Because wasn't there a time when they couldn't find him? They couldn't even get in touch with him through text or nothing?
Yeah.
You don't need that on your team.
Not at all.
And that's when you got to let him go.
But he's already made it clear he doesn't want to play there.
Right.
The players and Popovich didn't make it easy because allegedly he had players like Tony Parker, you know, and I think Ginobili go talk to Kawhi.
From the rocking chairs.
Right. And so, I mean, like, come on, man. you'll be a man and go handle your business.
I agree. But as we know, the Lakers aren't the only team talking to the Spurs for Leonard. There's a certain green team in the East.
Yeah, but I understand Boston can throw a lot at San Antonio,
mm-hmm.
which, they kind of have, I think they have like, you can say they have assets to burn
mm-hmm,
without damaging the core of their team.
Which is smart.
But when Kawhi says, I only want to play for the Lakers, how much are you really going to essentially throw away
right.
to get a one-year, get a guy on a one-year, you know, he's going to be a one-year rental, and then he's a free agent, and he leaves for nothing.
Does he have a no-trade clause in his contract?
He does not.
Okay. All right, so... And my thing is, if I'm the owner or the GM, I wouldn't want nobody on my team that doesn't want to play, period. If they've mentally checked out, it's time to say see ya.
I mean, if physically checks out, if he's, you know, if everything, if he checks all the boxes physically, Boston can go ahead and trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that they're willing, you know, to trade, to give up a lot to get Kawhi.
Yeah.
And in one sense, Boston doesn't have to give up as much to San Antonio as the Lakers would have to.
Right.
But you're still going to have to give up something. But at some point during, as this progresses,
mm-hmm.
as we get to training camp,
right.
Do you want to bring this guy into training camp? Probably not. Do you want to start the season with him? Probably not. So at some point, you know, the Spurs have to really, if they haven't traded him by the deadline, I mean, you're basically going to lose him for nothing.
Basically. And that's not smart business to do that, especially for a team that still goes to the playoffs. They weren't at their best last year, but they still made the playoffs. They still won about 50-something games.
So check this out. Mm-hmm. Not to cut you both off. Okay, so we ran the gambit on Kawhi. But I'm looking at the L.A. Lakers, and I'm thinking to myself, could LeBron James and Isaiah Thomas hook up again?
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that silent story right there? That's true. You're right.
That's and we also know that I don't think Lonzo Ball will be an LA Laker if LeBron James goes to the Lakers, because I think the Lakers are going to get someone else. Now, I don't think they should get rid of Lonzo, because I think Lonzo has that potential. But we're gonna wrap this up real quick. I just have to get the last word in there. It's we're gonna come back and talk more NBA basketball in a minute, because Ray's ready to go. I see it. It's Urban Media Today, Talking Sports. See, did you hear it? He's trying to interrupt me.
I ain't trying to interrupt you.
Urban Media Today, Talk Sports. We'll be right back after this.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99 and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to urbanmediatoday.com and subscribe today.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., the pre-LeBron James decision segment of the show, because coming up before we get out of here will be my man John McCann, and as I know you're going to dig this segment, and he's covering the LeBron James decision. So we were talking about that before I cut off these gentlemen to go into break, and I ended it by saying, could LeBron end up in L.A. with Isaiah Thomas on the team again? And Vince was quick to point out, Isaiah Thomas is an unrestricted free agent, so he probably won't be there if LeBron
Resigning him, that's for sure. Yeah.
And then Ray had a good point too. Ray was going to say so. What were you going to say here?
Well, first, and this was before I didn't realize he was an unrestricted free agent, but I was thinking, okay, well, maybe if they try to do a sign and trade with Leonard, with the Lakers, would Isaiah be included in that deal?
Nah.
Really?
Nah.
Well, you'd have to sign him. You have to sign him to a contract.
Okay.
And depending on what that contract was, like, you know, the salaries and stuff have to match up.
Absolutely. And the cap, of course, right. Yeah.
When you're at San Antonio and you look at the team's getting older, and they're going to need point guards. Tony Parker isn't the same man he used to be. Ginobili was ready to retire at one point earlier. Like, people were asking if he's going to retire. He's like, no, I'm going to come back and I'm going to play more. But when you look at the guard situation, I mean, you have good guards in San Antonio, but like I said, the team is getting older and you don't want them to be as old. So I don't think that's going to happen anyway, because Isaiah Thomas, I think, like Vince, you made a good point. Isaiah Thomas is auditioning and he's coming off an injury. So he already auditioned for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Cavs traded him, I think that was like, whoa, if you don't perform now, you might not even be in the league next year. But that's going to be interesting because, like you guys said, we're still looking at Paul George. Where's Paul George going to go? Maybe he goes to the Lakers.
And it's unfortunate that things didn't work out with him in Oklahoma City. I mean, at this time last year, it was a surprise that he would end up there because people were thinking he was going to L.A.
Well, I mean, he still could.
Oh, yeah. I believe that L.A. might be on the prowl for him.
So, I mean, well, I'm talking about OKC. I mean, even though he opted out,
okay, they could
what
resign
that
him.
Means right. is he has a few options. He can sign with OKC for a long-term deal,
mm-hmm.
Or he can do a one-and-done. So he can do a two-year deal that's basically first year guaranteed, second year is a player option, so he can opt out after that second year. You know, LeBron just did that, and I think that's one of the new things that the players are doing now. Or he can go somewhere else. So he has options. He just needs to decide very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, because then he has said he wants to go to LA and play. You know, he told Indiana that before
Pacers,
he got
right.
traded.
Mm-hmm.
But after playing with Russ Westbrook for a year, I think he saw the potential that team could have, and we know they still have Carmelo. He opted into his deal, which, you know, again was expected.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't turn down
Carmelo can't turn down
$28 million.
No,
and he can't afford. I mean,
right, he's not in a position where he could turn it down.
Right. I mean, there are less than a handful of players that could afford to turn down a deal like that.
Right.
Especially and with his skill set, I know he's a phenomenal scorer. But he does not much else.
Yeah. And I got to get back to, I know you were talking about San Antonio and their guards, Vince. And and Vince is our analyst. He's an expert analyst. But what Vince didn't talk about was with Paul George, Paul George could be pursued by the Sixers.
Now, that would be interesting.
And Houston. And I could see, now everybody's talking about Houston and LeBron James going to Houston. And I could see Paul George ending up in Houston. I really could see that. Before I see LeBron James ending up in Houston, I could see Paul George ending up in Houston. Now, that's kind of weird. You go from Oklahoma City to Houston. But I could see that. Now, I know the focus is on L.A. because, what, his parents were at the game when he was in L.A.? So L.A. was trying to entice him, like, come be a Laker. So he probably will go home to play for the Lakers. It's just depending on how much he'll get, because if the Lakers do get LeBron James, they're trying to lock in, you know, good players so that they can go ahead and give LeBron the world.
Well, they can offer two max deals.
Right, and LeBron is definitely the one of them.
Right.
And Paul George, max deal, you see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not surprised.
I mean, I'm like, it's, I think it's, I mean, he's in that upper echelon of players. You know, he's a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a size. Obviously, he can score. He's not, I think he's proven that he's not quite the man. Like, he's not Batman, mm-hmm. but he's certainly Robin, mm-hmm. And he's certainly capable enough to carry that secondary load for any team in the league. Mm-hmm. And again, he can, you know, he can, I won't say he can lock you down on defense, but he's a very capable defender. Okay. You know, I don't see the fit in Houston, mm-hmm. just from a personnel standpoint.
Right.
When, like, Houston has already position their team as a shooting team.
Gotcha.
So you already have two ball dominant players in Chris Paul and James Harden, mm-hmm. and everybody else just feeds off of them.
Right.
You know, they get their big guy moving and stuff, and some screener rolls, and you get those guys in the corner for those threes.
Right.
So I don't think Paul George fits with that team.
For Houston.
Right. I think he could work in Philly, because I think Philly has enough shooters, and they have a ball handler in Ben Simmons,
exactly.
And they have a big
Joel Embiid
you can fit him into that lineup, and I think he's a better fit for them for the style of offense that they run. And they could use a nice veteran to get them over the top.
I'm going home tonight. I'm getting on my NBA 2K18. I'm going to put Paul George on the Sixers, and I'm going to let you know next week how that works out.
Hey, make sure you see me on there, okay?
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah. We're not talking about you, man.
I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm just everywhere.
You should invite him over.
And, well, if we do, I got to get some food. I got to get food. You know,
look, my son is back from Spain.
Right.
I'm going to hop on the game with him.
Right.
We're going to create Ray Porter Jr.
And you better create me right, young man, okay?
On the NBA 2K18.
That's right. I'll be, yep, and make sure I have
look,
no hair.
You ask for it. I'm going to give it to you.
I want to see it. I want y'all to do this thing, okay?
Oh, man, that would be too funny. Yo, I got to point this out to you guys, and this is the, we're talking about LeBron James and the decision, and we're going to find out what decision that was. And John McCann and I know you're going to dig this segment before the show's over today. But I don't know if you guys have paid attention to this, but I have not slept on this. When you look at the Sacramento Kings going into the summer league, they have De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, Frank Mason III, and Marvin Bagley III on the same squad. Now, you got two players from Duke on that squad, and Giles and Bagley. Man, the Sacramento Kings are not playing. And I think that they've even made a push for Zach LaVine from the Chicago Bulls. They're looking for him to try to get him as the pre-agency begins on July 1st. Man, Sacramento's not playing.
Yeah, and they look like they are trying to get back to how they were when they had Chris Webber and Vlade Divac. And all those other great ones that tried, that almost knocked off and probably should have knocked off the Lakers back in 2000, 2001. So, yeah, they're looking pretty good. I like where Bagley went.
Yeah.
I really do.
And I give it to you. Purple is my favorite color, but Sacramento is the black hole.
And the New York Jets,
but,
too.
But Sacramento, I think that's the black hole when it comes to the NBA.
I mean, they maybe they'll end up like how the Lakers were last year. Win a few more and just creep up bit by bit. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to dominate, but What's his name? It's a special dude.
The Lakers are still creeping, man. So it's not like you brought the Lakers up. Like, they made big
teams.
Like, they
they're still creeping. That's true. Because, I mean, they're in the same division as Golden State, so that speaks for itself.
Yeah, exactly. They're like the Philadelphia 76ers of the West Coast.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think it's showtime. I like the exciting players. So when I looked at the Sacramento Kings, I saw that. And I just had to point that out to you guys. All right, Vince, you're the NBA analyst. Before we go to John McCann and his I Know You're Going to Dig This segment, what else did we miss, man? What you going to enlighten us on as far as the NBA, the free agency? What's happening with LeBron?
I think I say it's going to be interesting to see, like, which domino falls first.
Okay.
You know, will Paul George, is he going to sign first? Everything with LeBron happens after that.
Okay.
I do think LeBron is leaving. Hopefully, as a Cavs fan, I hope he, you know, when he says he's leaving, but then he opts in, then they just do a sign and trade and get something for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Cavs fan in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not mad at him if he just says, you know, yeah, I'm out. And we don't get anything for him. We don't get anything for him. Mm-hmm. You know, you make your bed, you lie in it. You know,
all right.
But I like the nucleus that the Cavs have. And then I want to see what kind of package the Lakers put together, and if Boston is serious about getting into the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes. So that should be interesting as we move towards the weekend.
Got it. So, you got something to say, Mr. Terrible Towel over here?
It's just going to be a fun weekend leading up to July 1st. And can't wait to see what's going to happen.
It is. But here's your man, John McCann, with his I Know You're Going to Dig This segment. And as I said earlier, we did the pre-LeBron portion of the show before we got to this point. Now, here's the LeBron decision.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
Now, you're wondering how come this podcast is late.
I was giving you time to get the last one straight.
You know, there are two fundamental ways to assemble a basketball team. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about as I get you to remember how we used to go down when you were playing pickup ball. Or maybe you still hoop. But it goes down two ways. One, you roll up at the basketball court with your boys. And you're already a squad, right? And you're not trying to break it up. You're not trying to add to it because y'all want to play together because y'all are friends. And in the NBA, it's kind of like free agency, right? But the other way teams get assembled in pickup ball is whoever gets the first pick chooses the best available talent. Then the other captain picks the next available best talent. Then the captain who had the first pick selects the next best player. And back and forth it goes. Now, ideally, at the end of the picking, the teams are evenly matched. It's kind of like building through the draft, right? But free agency has complicated that. Ring chasing has complicated that. And then you end up with the Golden State Warriors. Now, mind you, the core of Golden State was built through the draft, built the right way, but then Kevin Durant showed up. Now, LeBron James has opted out of his contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and here's what needs to happen. If this is about LeBron's legacy, then he needs to ask himself, what's best for the game? Not what's best for LeBron James, what's best for the game? Because chasing rings is understandable, but Kevin Durant demonstrated that not all rings are created equally. I mean, Bill Russell, the great Boston Celtic, guy's got 11 rings. But you don't hear his name in the debate about who's the greatest to ever do it. It's always Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Because the game was way, way different when Bill Russell was winning rings. The NBA size and speed was way different. I mean, there you had Bill Russell at 6'10 camping out down there on the low block doing work. Nowadays, the NBA has a 6'11 Greek freak in Milwaukee who led the team in assists. I mean, it's just a way different league. A league, however, that includes shortcuts to championships. But LeBron can change the direction of that by going to a team that can run with the Warriors, but not run over the Warriors just because the matchup is grossly unfair. I mean, that's what the Warriors do. Like, if I'm Steph Curry, I would have been like, KD, my man, look, much respect to you, but we got to respect the game, right? So you stay there in Oklahoma City and help Russ put some more shine on that small market. I mean, that's what I like about the construction of the Houston Rockets. A healthy mix of all-stars and Chris Paul and James Harden. Golden State, on the other hand, is out there stacked up like a Hall of Fame. But LeBron can get everybody to play follow the leader. I mean, sure, LeBron can add to his profile by stacking up rings, but he can alter the game by making a move that makes a statement about what it really should mean to pick fair teams, not fantasy squads. Altering the game cements his legacy. For more sports or entertainment, hard news, health news, you name it, go to urbanmediatoday.com. That's urbanmediatoday.com. Keeping you connected from the fields to the stands, I'm your man, John McCann.
There you have it, my man John McCann, giving you the update on the LeBron James decision. Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We appreciate you being here with us this weekend. For Ray Porter Jr. and Vince Butts and the big guy, Alan Lincoln, who's always listening every week. Mike number four is still here, ready to roll. I'm Trevor Day Jones. We appreciate you. Make sure you sign up for that VIP membership here on Urban Media Today. Enjoy Urban Media Today Radio and also check out urbanmediatoday.com. And before I go, I also got to mention the other show, part of the sports team, Soul Take Champions Live, which is every Wednesday with Bill Neal and Kevin Cameron. They had a great show this past weekend, Ladies Night, that's on the website. Go check that out. And that's a wrap. Urban Media Today Talks Sports. We'll see you next weekend.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.